Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We got to talk right now with Lindsay Jones, of course, of The Athletic, senior writer there. But she's also the president of the Pro Football Writers Association. Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. And Lindsay is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Lindsay, we were talking on Friday, I think it was, and I was, you know, we're not beat reporters. We're, you know, in studio, we're sports talk show hosts, so we're not going into locker rooms. But I'm furious for you guys that I believe throughout all sports right now that the leagues are now using the pandemic as an excuse to keep reporters out of the locker room. Obviously, we all understand last year, but I think if reporters are, in my opinion at least, if reporters are vaccinated for this football season, I think, and starting with training camp, I think they should be back in the locker room. Some of these rules and OTAs are ridiculous. I don't like the lack of access that you and your fellow reporters are being given. What say you on all of this, Lindsay, and what's going on with it?
Yeah, it's a lot. This is kind of consuming my my days lately. But yeah, I mean, obviously there was a Washington Post story that ran late last week that I'm sure you guys talked about, where kind of what we know right now is that it's expected that there won't be any locker room access during training camp, which is actually not that different than normal. So what we picture training camp looking like is not really that different. There's very few. I honestly cannot remember the last time that I was in a locker room during training camp, and I've been covering the NFL since 2008. But what we're kind of looking at long-term here is, what is the regular season going to look like? What is post-game going to look like? And we're kind of where you're at, where we believe that there is a safe way to do this, where that will be in line with CDC recommendations, all of the local and state regulations, and being able to adhere to the NFL's policies and all those, all sorts of things. And, you know, I think one of the things that gets, you know, kind of gets complicated here, and, it's very popular for people online to be like, you all shouldn't go in the locker rooms anyways, and it's a private place and all that stuff. And I get that. And it's not because I want to be in there. You know, it's sure. Because we want to tell the stories that you guys, as fans of the Cleveland Browns or as fans of the NFL or the Cleveland Indians or the Cavaliers or whoever it is, that you're not going to get if the access is limited to press conferences or to kind of team-funded media. Right. And, you know, what happens in those locker room settings are the time that you can have candid conversations. You can, you know, take me through that third down call. What happened? What was your responsibility? What was the breakdown? Or, you know, if it was a bad play or if it's a good play, you know, help me understand why this happened. What was the coverage? You know, what was the route that you ran? All this stuff that you just can't get certainly not on a Zoom call, but even at a press conference setting where you can't really have back and forth in a conversation, let alone the really deep player profiles where, you know, we want to know these athletes, these football players, these basketball players, we want to know them as people and who they are away from the field, what their families are like, what are you interested in, what do you want to do after football, all of those sorts of things. And we need that time to do that. And, you know, I never want to be in any facet of my life of like advocating for like, oh, we just do something because that's the way it's always been done. But it's been the teams and the leagues that for decades have established the locker room as the place that these sort of conversations happen. And it works for everybody largely. And, you know, I do understand that there's some really important and relevant conversations that should be had about the way that kind of this business is all conducted in the current media landscape. But we just hope that we can come up with solutions that don't end up limiting the access, that keep the fans and the readers and the listeners, just consumers of, you know, all any sort of media, whatever platform that is, that keep you guys informed and the information that you guys deserve to know about your team.
I feel some teams don't realize the media can be your best friend if you allow them to. They can actually help you out, help your brand, help the players, help the coaches. Like, instead of being mean to them and trying to keep them out, why not allow more access, allow them to get in there to get to know you? And then, of course, we're all human beings. I'm not saying you're going to write a story just because the guy's nice to you about the coach or about a player, but still, it does matter, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just all about establishing professional working relationships,
right,
where, you know, I've never looked at it as like, I don't want to be friends with the guys I cover. I don't need to be friends with the guys I cover, but I want to know who they are. I want to understand kind of what makes them tick as a person, as an athlete, and just be able to kind of just have professional working relationships. So when things are going well, you can tell those stories about, you know, those highest of highs. And when things aren't going well, and, you know, when the Browns are 0-16, like, you need to be able to have those people on the ground hearing what's actually going on that's for real. Because if you leave that just to, you know, whatever coach or GM, whoever it is, like, you're not going to get the real sense of what's going on within these franchises. And, you know, I think there's a lot of teams that get it. I've been talking to a ton of PR directors around the league, a lot of players, people with the league over the last, you know, couple weeks. And there's a lot of people that really get it. And there's a lot of the guys who work for the teams that they hate Zoom. They hate it as much as we do. And they're ready to kind of get back to normal. And we're just, you know, we're kind of caught up in the NFL and the NFLPA are fighting over everything right now. They're fighting over so many different things. And we're kind of, you know, the media access policies are kind of right there in the middle of it.
Lindsay Jones is with us from The Athletic. She's the president of the Pro Football Writers Association. Speaking of which, Lindsay, I think, and we love J.C. Treader here. He's a great guy by all accounts. Whenever we've talked to him, he's been great. He's an excellent player. I'm not saying we want to get rid of him. But I think the Players Union, and we all know the NFL Players Union has never been as strong as like the NBA and certainly Major League Baseball unions. And I think they've kind of botched this OTA situation. I think they, you know, I'm a big pro union guy. My whole family's teachers. I've always been a big union guy, but I think they have completely botched it. They do not look together at all. You know, John Greco, former Browns player, said he thinks if Treader wasn't the president, the Browns offensive players would all be at OTAs. All these teams made these big announcements that they weren't coming, and then a lot of teams have. I think the Players Union looks bad here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the messaging has been really tricky. And,
yes,
you know, I've kind of always looked at this, everything that's been going this offseason is, you know, there have been some very, like, fundamental things about the way that the NFL is run that the NFLPA has wanted to change and that they haven't been able to win in the traditional CBA negotiations when they do the big CBAs every 10 years. And what happened in 2020 was they got 1 year of anecdotal evidence and actual data evidence to back up some of the things that they've always wanted, which are, you know, these fundamental changes to the off-season program. And so this was the opportunity to kind of push for some of those changes. The problem is when you have a membership that is as large as the NFL player population is, and as diverse as they are, where you have 43-year-old billionaire Tom Brady, and then you have, you know, all these, the majority of your members who are, you know, these 25-year-old guys who are existing contract to contract, you know, a lot of guys on minimum deals, maybe barely making $1 million a year, their interests are totally different. So it's really hard. I mean, they were not unified in March of 2020. The CBA, the new CBA that's going to run for 10 years, it passed by about 60 votes out of a membership of more than 2,000 people. So yeah, it just barely passed. So they were not unified when this started. And then, you know, they kind of had to agree on a lot of things just to make it through 2020. And now we're kind of back to the point where, you know, there's a lot of leadership that are pushing for these major fundamental changes that they believe will ultimately end up benefiting everybody, but that might not actually benefit everybody in the short term. And that's what this was really difficult. And trying to sell this as COVID related when in large part it doesn't seem it was COVID related. You know, this is always about kind of fundamentally changing the way that the off-season program runs under the umbrella of COVID. So, and that messaging was bad, and then it's just really hard for any union, right, to get everybody on the same page when it's this many people who have this many diverse interests.
And like I said, with, you know, the league kind of using COVID to keep reporters out, in a way, I didn't like this either. I feel like you just said the players are using COVID. Meanwhile, they're all getting together on their own. So this idea that they're not showing up at OTAs for safety is just bogus, because most of these guys are getting together in their own way. They agreed to this CBA. Yeah, it was by a small margin, but they agreed to it. And part of it is these OTAs. I just think they should get rid of voluntary OTAs. They should either make them mandatory or get rid of them, and that would solve all these issues, I think.
Yeah, I think that there's some value there too, you know, where it's, because they never were voluntary, and that's what JC Treader and his kind of peers in NFLPA leadership have been saying, is like, you say it's voluntary, but we all know that it's not voluntary. So, you know, maybe this year, well, 2020 certainly, and then maybe a little bit of what's happened this year will change the non-voluntary, voluntary part of this, and, you know, change the way that this operates for veteran players. But yeah, I don't think they're ultimately going to get the big time changes that they wanted out of this. But there are still some COVID concerns. I mean, there were four Packers players who now can't be at their minicamp because of contact tracing and exposure to somebody who tested positive. And I know there were some Browns players who had to go home from OTAs a couple weeks ago because there was an exposure. So, you know, the COVID stuff is still out there, but, you know, let's be honest about what's
driving all this. But don't use it. Don't use it because it's serious.
Exactly. And that's the same stuff with the locker room and the media access and stuff. It's like, we know this isn't about COVID, because if it was truly about COVID, we would be strictly talking about safe ways to do this. And that's not what we're talking about.
Lindsay, Aaron Rodgers is not in camp with the Packers. Everyone else is there but him. What's going to happen with this saga at Green Bay?
Well, I live in Denver, so here it's like all anybody is talking about it is sports talk radio gold here in Denver, because the Broncos fans are basically just praying. They don't want Aaron Rodgers to show up. They're just praying that this finally will come to a head where the Packers give in and say, okay, we're going to trade him. I just don't see the Packers budging on this, right? I mean, like, they know that Aaron Rodgers showing up to play for the Packers is his best option. It's their best option. So there's not a ton of motivation for them to move him on June 8th. I don't see any movement there. Like, oh, he didn't show up for minicamp. Well, let's talk on July 27th and then, you know, August 10th. And if this becomes more and more and more urgent, or he continues to not show up. I mean, it doesn't feel like a situation where either side is really willing to give in. I don't see this as something that's going to be resolved very quickly, as much as Broncos fans are just hoping that Aaron Rodgers is going to show up at Centennial Airport right around the corner from the facility any minute now and, you know, solve all their quarterback problems. I just don't see that happening right away. I mean, maybe it happens in August or September, but it's messy, that's for sure. I mean, I don't know. It's just messy, and I don't love it for anybody involved other than, sports talk radio.
That's right.
Here in Denver.
No doubt. No doubt. Lindsay, where do you see, you know, obviously the top of the AFC is very tough. We know the Chiefs, at least on paper, are the best team. Who do you think is the team, you know, the number two team right now? And are the Browns in consideration for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Browns are in that next tier for sure. I still think it's the Bills. Are probably that next team right down. And, you know, yeah, it was they played in the AFC Championship game, and so that kind of is taking the easy answer here. But just the way that they're constructed, the way that Josh Allen has been playing and ascending, and just their entire roster top to bottom, I just think they're, you know, defensively built where they might be able to slow a Chiefs offense. And then, you know, when they're playing at their best offensively, they are capable, I think, of potentially keeping up with the Chiefs when they're playing at their peak. But I think you have to put the Browns right there in that next tier down. And, you know, I think they've been one of the best stories in the NFL over the last few years. And they're just, you know, it's like, you just watch move after move that the Browns have made over the last 2 years or so, and it's like, wow, that's really smart, or oh, I really like that move, or oh, look at the way that they've, you know, constructed this backfield, and oh, I love the way that, you know, Kevin Stefanski is designing this offense to, you know, help Baker Mayfield and unlock some of his, you know, the things that he needed to improve on. And so I think that they're certainly on the right track. I loved a lot of their defensive moves that they made this year that, you know, should make them more competitive. I mean, yeah. The AFC North is going to be really wild. I think between the Ravens and the Browns, I am not excited about the Steelers.
That's right.
Really at all. But so I think those two teams, I think, are right there on that next cruise. So I think, I guess I would, if I'm power ranking the AFC, what I would do, the Chiefs, the Bills, and then probably Browns and Ravens kind of right in that next level down.
Lindsay, great stuff as always. We appreciate it. Thank you for your time, and good luck getting everybody back in the locker rooms. We appreciate
We're
it.
Good. We'll keep fighting for it.
Yes. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thanks. All right.
Thanks,
bye.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!